Heavenly Father, one day when that glorious Son whom you incarnated walked on this earth, he said, "Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never perish." He proved already that day that there was that power to bring them forth from the dead, performing a resurrection through Lazarus. But Lord, we're looking now to that one step between us and immortality. And we have no hope but it, Lord. We have no plans but it. We have nothing but it. We are trusting you, Lord, that you are going to see that we accomplish it in you. Because of ourselves, we will never get there. But in you, Lord, now that you are here, all things are possible. And this is that one thing that was left, that a group of people would be immortal and walk right into eternal life physically without losing one step, one wink of the eye, one beat of the heart, or whatsoever, one breath, but just going on in. And we know that that's at the door. Maybe a little while off as far as men count years, but we know that in your time it is right here now. This is the season. This is the hour. In the meantime, Lord, we are admonished by your word to stand in the presence of the Son, to be still as he rises with healing in his wings, that we might enter into that place where he is. And Lord, we take the admonition tonight. We're grateful that we can stand still waiting for that first resurrection and that immortality to come upon us. We're glad, Lord, we're of that number. And we cannot praise you enough, Father. There is no way that we can praise you enough. It falls upon our souls and all, and overshadows our minds and all things, O God. There is nothing that compareth it. Now be with us in our simple study tonight. Give grace and glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. At the end of the message, I want Brother Ungern to sing again for us, because we'll be going into the foot washing and communion. Now, a little announcement here. Anybody's at Quality Inn over here in Sydney, don't forget to tell them that you're with Grace Gospel Group, and you'll get a discount. The rates are very good over there. Also, it's wonderful to have Brother and Sister Ungern with us, and all the folk from visit us every now and then, and see Peter and Diane back, and just keep believing they're going to stay back here. I don't think it's fair that they desert the family. Family voted that she couldn't leave, and they left anyway. Young kids just, you know, fly the coop. Well, I'm glad. It's all right. I was just kidding. You know that. see the Kellers and the Hawkenberries, and see all the friends from Canada. It's certainly wonderful. And I hope you turn up that cold, too. You may be sitting there, and I'm standing up here. So keep that fan moving and the air coming. All right. Now, something else I wanted to say, too. I think I wrote it down. Yeah. I wanted to mention that Brother Morris Ungern has nicely conceded that it would be all right to look into the possibility of a little three-day meeting or so at Thanksgiving time in Memphis. And different brethren have thought it was a good idea. So if anybody has a little time off, you're planning a little time, well, we're just happy to have you. Come on down there. I think it's glad to see Brother Miles, too. I guess he'd be glad to have the meeting a little close to home. He's had to travel so far. He hasn't complained, at least not at this point. That's very good. Brother Gunther, I think, will be visiting us the middle of July. So those are pretty well the things we have in mind. Tomorrow, Brother Ungern is going to speak to us, and I'm very happy for that. And then afterward, we'll have a walk-in dinner. The dinner's going to walk in. I'm going to carry you people in, you know. You're going to walk in, the dinner will carry you. All right, we'll tell you how to get there. We're sure glad to see you all, very happy to be with you tonight. Now, you know the way I sort of conduct myself in the services. I sort of preach and teach, and I get onto something, and I don't leave it alone usually. More or less just look at it and keep coming back to it and seeing what I can see. And when you're not a prophet, it's just hard, because you know that there's something lying there, and you haven't the ability to get it the way a prophet can just go to God, and like Brother Branham could. You know, most people don't appreciate that fact, the way he could go to God and speak face to face with God. You know, the Bible tells us that God rebuked Miriam and Aaron for Moses' sake, because of the position he had given to Moses. And that position was one which was superior to other prophets, even other word prophets of those generations back there. And he said, now, he said, a man, a prophet, he said, I can speak to him in vision and dreams, but he said, my servant Moses, it is not so. I speak with him even apparently, which means he spoke in a form that Moses could actually see, and he spoke face to face with Moses. Now, Paul was that kind of a man, and Brother Branham's own testimony was that we hadn't had a prophet like that for 2,000 years when God spoke face to face until this hour. Now, I don't know if you know what that means. But that means that the word of God and the word of the prophet is one. See, a lot of people don't even go that far. They just think, well, hey, we had a great man. You didn't have a great man. You had God on the scene. Not that that man is God, but when that man spoke, God had one voice, God had one word, and that prophet was one with God, and he had one word with God. Now, a lot of people don't understand that. And therefore, they lose the impact of his ministry, which came by the word. They got carried away with the signs and wonders. I remember, I think I might have mentioned here, yes, I did, a little while back, one Wednesday night, I guess it was, that a certain great man was in Brother Branham's meetings, and he wasn't a great man at that time in the Pentecostal movement, but he had seen this great thing happen where this insane man that was devil-possessed challenged Brother Branham, and Brother Branham said, because you challenge the servant of the Most High God, Satan, I command you to fall at my feet. And the man wove just like a snake back and forth and just fell on Brother Branham's feet, right over his feet, and he couldn't move. He was so heavy on his feet, so they had to have the policemen come in different ones to pull the man off so Brother Branham could be free. And the man said, now, like a voice spoke to him. I was a voice or what it was, an indelible impression. But the voice spoke to him, said, see, that's the way it's done in the Bible, and you can do that. Now, I saw Brother Branham, but the voice didn't tell me that. What spoke to me was, if any man would be listened to, that's the man you listen to.
Amen.
Well, you say, Brother Bale, you didn't have much ambition. Thank you, that's exactly right. I don't have much ambition tonight either. Let Morris preach. He's a good preacher. So, I'm not a prophet. I look at things and I don't have that ability to just go right to the heart of it. But as he shows me things in the sense of the word here, as I sort of get a hold of them, I kind of stick with them. And what I've been doing on the nights of the last foot washing and communion, I went into the Lord's Supper. And I want to go into that again tonight as sort of pastoral more than teaching, but it'll be like a little teaching message as a pastor would give. And I'm not denigrating pastors. It's just that you might have come here looking tonight for me to be teaching on the Godhead or on the presence of the Lord and those things, whether it's what we're moving from the judge to the king. And well, I'm doing that Sunday morning, and this is not Sunday morning. And I just can't get in the frame of mind to do it. And the frame of mind is the simplicity of the Word of God in the Lord's Supper. And I want to read it from 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, and of course, beginning at verse 17, and we'll go through to 33. That'd be best. Now, in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you are come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that's sects, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together therefore into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating every one taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunk. What, have ye not houses to eat and drink in, or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I shall not praise you. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take ye, this is my body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the new testament in my blood, this do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you declare or proclaim the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh condemnation or judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Now, even as we looked into the Lord's Supper last month, as I said, we're going to look into it tonight. This is the first of the month, the communion and foot washing. So first of all, We want to note its simplicity. That's the first thing to note, its simplicity. In verses 23 to 26, he said, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Now, this what he said, is actually very, very simple. It doesn't need any elaboration. It just needs that it should be done. Now, what he said here is a direct revelation by Jesus Christ to Paul. Now, a lot of people reading this don't class this as a direct revelation. Now, let's go to Galatians, the first chapter, and you'll notice in verses 11 and 12, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." Now, he says here, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you." So Paul is actually claiming here that nobody taught him concerning what he is setting forth in this scripture. This is uniquely and absolutely something which was communicated to him by the Holy Spirit, absolutely directly and no doubt face to face. Now, we read in the Gospels what verifies this portion of scripture. Now, I want to take you to the Gospels because we'll be using them. In Matthew 26, 26 to 29, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. For I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Okay, we turn to Mark chapter 14. And we'll see what Mark has to say. Verses 22 to 25. "And as they did eat, Jesus took bread, and blessed and broke it, and gave it to them and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I will no more drink of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God." All right, we go to Luke chapter 22. We get all three accounts. 15 to 18. "And he said unto them, With desire, with desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Now remember, the kingdom of God is not only neither meat nor drink, but no one can possess the kingdom of God until they're in an immortal stage. For corruption doth not inherit incorruption, nor mortality immortality. Flesh and blood of itself cannot inherit the kingdom of God." So now let's get that straight. Many people not understanding that are confused about the millennium. There's no confusion. Just read your Bible. See, all you got to do is follow the prophet, and there's no problem with this. All right. The kingdom of God. "He took the cup and gave thanks and said, Take this and divide amongst yourselves. For I say unto you, I'll not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come." Now, the kingdom of God is not possessed by anybody that's flesh and blood. And Jesus said, "Handle me and see a spirit hath not flesh and blood." He's flesh and bone, but he wasn't blood. So you got a different picture there entirely. Now, listen. This simple direct charge of the mechanical performance of this ordinance was botched up by the Corinthian church. And I read three places in the gospel. This is the bread, eat it. This is the wine, drink it. This is what it means. Paul got by revelation, this is what you should do. You take the bread. Now he wasn't handed bread. The disciples weren't handed bread. They saw the example and then he described the precept. Paul got the precept, And then he was taught
what the example was. The precept and example stood together. Paul by revelation said, now listen, you take bread, you take wine. You break it, you eat it, you drink it. This is what it means. And the Corinthian church botched it up. Now you wonder why kids get in trouble. And Christians are supposed to be smart. They're supposed to have something a little more than what the world has. But they botched it up. They couldn't even do this right. See? Now, can you believe that such a simple thing as this could be so perverted as to be made sinful and thereby cause sickness and death? Now, you see, that's what you're looking at. Simplicity. A simple thing as this could be perverted and thereby cause sickness and death. Now we got to let that sink in. It's true. Now could something be done to this simple commemoration of his death as to make it an act of sin and thereby bring the judgment of God, which is sickness and premature death? And the answer is yes, it could, and it did, and it can, and it does. See? So how simple is the message? As simple as ABC, but people botch everything up. Brother Branham, after preaching the seals, he stood up there, he preached God in simplicity to begin with. At the end of the messages, the seventh seal, he said, and he just seemed to faint away, and he said, and I preached God in simplicity, and didn't know how simple it was. And I said, oh, merciful heaven, merciful God. Simple. I never heard anything so complex in my life. And the people came by, and they got it more complex because they read between the lines. Till, as I said, it would take a telescope that could count the fleas on Mars to read between the lines of people's revelations when it's very simple. Simple, simple, simple. See, now I'm giving you an illustration. I just show you that the simple things, the Word of God is very simple. That's what's wrong with it. I started this in 1975, that's 8 solid years ago, and I haven't changed my tune. There's something wrong somewhere because it's simple. But believe me, I'm simple. But I'm not a fool. The Bible said, a wayfaring man though a fool, not earlier in. Maybe I'm too smart. Maybe you're too smart. See? Don't look for big things and great big things, Brother Brand said. Laid out so simple, people just goes over the head. Now, this was very simple, but they boxed it up. Now, to further probe our understanding, we ask, is it possible for those rites established in the church by Jesus himself be so performed as to dishonor God and degrade the participant? Now that's the question. Can these simple rites be brought to the place where God is dishonored and the participant degraded? Absolutely true. Now let's go over it again. Is it possible to have a little ceremony so commonplace that men can come right by, dishonor God, and degrade themselves? The answer is yes. Now, I'm going to read a little more enlarged translation of 1 Corinthians 11 and 17. But first of all, I'm going to take you to 1 Corinthians 11 and 17 in your King James Version so that you'll just know what I'm talking about when I read the expanded translation. I didn't bring the book with me. I didn't intend to because I didn't want all of it. Okay, the 17th verse. Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. Now we read that and it goes over our heads. Yeah. We read it and what? We're too anxious to get down below to where I read something else. Now listen. Moreover, when giving you this charge, I am not praising you because you are not coming together for the better but for the worse. I don't even like that language. I like the simplicity. You're botching it up. You are messing things up. Now, no wonder the church is where it is today. Right back there in the Corinthian church. No wonder Paul had a time. And this is a repeat of the Corinthian age, of the tongues and the gifts and everything else. Everything is botched up. And this was botched up. Now, they were to come together and be commended for what they did. And Paul said, I cannot praise you for coming together. Because you're messing everything up. He said, you're leaving in a worse shape than when you come. How would you like to come in this service tonight and have communion and foot washing and leave here in worse shape than you came in? And there's something wrong somewhere, because that's exactly what can happen. And I'm not excited about it, I'm just telling you the truth. Here is a local assembly who, after partaking with each other what was commanded, are all in worse shape when they stopped than when they started. Yeah. It's like the seven church ages. Started back there as a woman that had been untrue to her husband and ends up a filthy prostitute with daughters. So degrading and degraded that there's only one place for her. And that's burned her to annihilation. They were not helped, but rather they were harmed by their participation in this ordinance. Now, there is not one of us here tonight, but can see that this is a rerun of Genesis 4, 3 to 12. Well, let's go right on back. Okay, and in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel also brought of the firstling of his flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Now, here's a simple little offering they're going to give. Now, somebody say, I want you to bring a sheep, and you're man enough to kill it. I don't know if I would be or not. I can't stand sight of blood mine or anybody else's sheep or anybody else. But if I had to, I'd do it, I guess. Now, it's all you got to do is bring sheep. That's wonderful. The next page read, all you got to do is bring some vegetables, fruit and so on. Now, let's see what happened. The process of time, it came to pass, Cain brought the fruit of the ground, and offering unto the Lord. And Abel also brought the firstling of the flock, the fat thereof, and the Lord respect unto Abel and his offering. But unto Cain his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. The Lord said unto Cain, why are you wroth? And why is your countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Well, it tells you in the Septuagint there, that's a little different translation, which I like a lot better. It tells them there that thou hast offered right, but thou hast not rightly divided. And when you don't rightly divide, it becomes sin unto you. See? Now, you know that's the scripture. It's got to be rightly divided before you're approved. And this was not a right division. Now, the Bible categorically tells you that Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, so therefore Cain's offering was excellent. It was because it was a first fruit offering. But he botched it. He blew it. Now, he could have been right. But he went wrong. Now, Abel brought the right offering. He didn't blow it. Now, in the time of Paul, there were people who didn't botch it. And there were people that did. There were people that took communion, as we call it, the table of the Lord. And it was perfectly right. They just took the simplicity and abided by it. The rest of them botched it. See, now you can't do that. Let's go to 1 John, the third chapter. Well, I didn't read this all out. Cain and Abel, and Cain talked with Abel, his brother. It came to pass when they're in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel, your brother? He said, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? I certainly don't feel like I am. And he said, well, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries unto me in the ground. Now you're cursed from the earth, which has opened her mouth to receive your brother's blood from thy hand. Now the shedding of blood is in the topic tonight, which is emblematic. The wine is emblematic. And we know that the blood fell upon the ground. Certainly it did. You say, well, it was removed from the ground and took to taking the mercy seat. It fell on the ground first. Thereby purifying the earth in this extent, our bodies can come forth in a resurrection, and so can the earth be purified in this resurrection. So, all right. So, the blood is at stake. See, now the brother's blood fell upon the ground. The blood of Jesus Christ was spilled too. Abel being the first type of the great antitype Jesus Christ. Now, notice what he said here. When thou tillest the ground, it will not henceforth yield her strength. A fugitive, a vagabond shall you be. So in the Lord's Supper, when it is not taken correctly, the value which lies within it, through the offering of the atonement, does not come back upon the one who performs that rite. Let's go to 1 John, the 3rd chapter. Okay. It says in verse 7, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous even as he is righteous. He that commits sin is the devil. The devil sins from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest and thoroughly proven who he was. That word manifest means brought into full view. You get the word manio to show forth. That he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. He doesn't initiate sin. Show me where God initiates sin. Show me where a Christian ever initiates sin. He can be caught up. That's why Brother Branham came back from God and told us why Eve was the one who had to start the ball rolling, because it was not complimentary to God to have a son of God fall, and he couldn't fall, actually. So he had to take the sub-creation, so to speak, or the step-down creation, because she was in the image and glory of Adam, as Adam was in the image and glory of God. And so therefore she could be tested. See? Now, she could not originate sin, because she was in the image of him or was in the image of God. Now you're getting to a bride into the Christ. So it took the serpent under Satan to initiate sin. No Christian initiates sin. He can fall into it. But he doesn't initiate it, because that which is born of God, that seed cannot, which is born cannot do it. And the blood of Jesus Christ scatters sin till you couldn't pin it on him. All right, whosoever born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him. He cannot sin because he's born of God. And this is the children of God to manifest. And the children of the devil, whosoever does not righteousness, doeth not righteousness, is not of God, neither loveth it not his brother. Now watch what he's talking about. Then notice, this is a message you have heard from the beginning. What message? What he's dealing with. What is he dealing with? Unrighteousness and righteousness, the righteous and the wicked. And he's telling you where it came from. That we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Now what was the evil work? Worshipping God contrary to the revelation. That's right. The first fruit is a true offering. But you got to be born again to present it. He was wrong. Now, you know my studies on this. There's one of you doesn't understand this thoroughly the same as I understand it. Original unrighteousness is not what people think it is. It is what Brother Branham said it was. Unbelief. And anything else is the attribute of it. Why don't people bring their light, their deeds to the Word, to the light? Why are people running scared all the time? I've run scared myself for years. I stopped running scared. Well, we're going to get an 8-ton air conditioner, I can tell you that. This thing does. I kid you not. Should do better than that. Now listen. Righteousness and unrighteousness. See, that is what we're dealing with. Now when you're dealing with that, you've got to go back in the beginning. See? And every time you're going to find it a perversion. See? You are going to find it a perversion. It is not a black and a white. As long as it was a black and a white, where man and woman stood here and the serpent stood there, it was all right. But it's when they got together. Now there's a perversion what we're talking about right here. Okay? He willfully offered the sacrifice when he knew better. It was misplaced. Now, he had no faith in the revelation. Now, this thing says here, wherefore slew he him? Because his deeds were evil. The evil deed was a willful worship of Almighty God when he knew better. Now, Brother Branham categorically pointed his finger in this hour, and he said, they know better. You bet they knew better. You don't tell me for 1 minute that these spiritual or religious historians that write books, there's not one of them to condemn a great Brother Branham. Now, some tried because the man's been dead for quite some time. And that's only recently there's been anything said against Brother Branham except by some of these foul-mouthed Trinitarians that are serpent seed in the first place. Now, I'm not going to strike that off the tape. Don't you strike that off any tape. I'm going out of here because that's the truth. And I'll let that sit. There's many a man paid the price already for coming against William Branham, prophet of God. Let's get that flat. If you're going to speak, you better keep your tone soft and toward the prophet. All right. This man's deeds were evil because he absolutely knew better, but went on in willful self-worship toward God in his unbelief. And he said, I don't care if the revelation of blood is there, I'm going to get there just the same, and I'll prove it. And he offered the first fruit offering, which cannot be offered apart from blood. No way, because an animal will die, only in Christ are all made alive. So he offered his own. Showing you categorically, brother, sister, that when you and I deal with sin, we don't even understand the first bit of sin unless we understand what the prophet said. The sin is unbelief, and swearing and smoking and drinking and killing and all those things are merely the attributes thereof. And the unbelief, there's only one type of belief that counts, and that is faith in Almighty God. And this was the faith that, those men had in that day. And this man turned his back on it 100%. Now, that's why when it came to the Corinthian church, they could botch up or debauch a simple little ceremony that God had laid before them. Now, be absolutely sure that there is nothing, not even this simple and beautiful ordination, that cannot be perverted by the enemy and cause division thereby. That is exactly why it is said in Revelation 3, 15 and 16, I know your works. You're neither hot nor cold. I would you were cold or hot. So then because you're lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I'll spew you out of my mouth. All right, listen. Three kinds of people. Hot, cold, lukewarm. God said, I'll take the cold. I'll take the lukewarm. I mean the hot and the cold, but the lukewarm make me sick. Brother Branham said there's three kinds of believers. The believer, the unbeliever, the make-believer. And the make-believer is your lukewarm, regurgitating type of Christian, so-called. He'll make you vomit every single time. Brother Branham said that old unbeliever will stand right there and look that thing in the eye, and he'll say, I don't get it. He said, don't understand it. I guess ain't nothing to it, and walk away. That red hot fella jump up and down screaming praise to God, he'll do anything to show his happiness and his approbation of what he knows to be of Almighty God, because he's got the revelation. And the make-believer, he just sits on the fence teetering and tottering, just waiting for the time he can cut your throat. Just like old Cain. Oh, you say Cain was a real unbeliever. You're wrong. He was a make-believer. Because the blood offering lay there and God brought it to his attention and said, there it lies, use it. And he walked right off. And he cussed God right to his face. And refused it. He wasn't an unbeliever, he was a make-believer. You got him right today. Three kinds of them. Look at verses 18 and 19 in 1 Corinthians 11 again. All right. Now he says, for first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear there be divisions. That's sects among you. And I partly believe it. Well, sure he believed it. But he heard so many things, he didn't know which one was going which way, so he could only partly believe it. He knew part was true that he heard, and he just doubted some of the other things were exactly right the way they were told. Well, now he said, listen, I'll tell you why I partly believe it. Well, I know that I'm not just getting a bunch of gossip. There's got to be heresies among you. There's got to be schisms and sects and what have you. That they which are approved may be made manifest. See? Now, remember, though this is true, it's got to come. See, because it started there. There's no way that you and I today can get around it. But remember, Matthew 24 and 24 holds good. The elect will never be deceived. They will never be guilty of 1 Corinthians 11:29. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drink damnation himself, not discerning the Lord's body. I don't believe they're going to be into that. Because in this church there were those who were right and there were those who were wrong. There were those who took the simple formula and went the wrong way, and those who took the simple formula and went the right way. Now, you cannot give blanket coverage to the church. Because the word is a discerner, and it separates. And he takes one and leaves another. Now, the foolish virgin is just like the wise virgin, except they don't have the Holy Spirit. So he leaves the foolish virgin and takes the virgin, the wise virgin. You say, I don't believe that's true. Well, you don't believe the prophet then, because the prophet said so. He said, there's no difference. He said, you take a piece of cloth and lay the pattern on it and cut the garment according to that pattern. He said, what is left over is a remnant, and is identical to what that cloth, that garment's made out of. He said, so is that foolish virgin. That's where you got five of one and five of the other. Comes out equal. Five wise, five foolish. She said, same thing, but just one thing. They didn't have the revelation. And that's exactly why they come out of denominations. Because, you see, the oil has leaked out of the word of the hour. Nobody can say, well, justification is right. It is right. But, you see, it was everything they had for that hour. In it laid the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost moved on to sanctification. And they had it. Then it moved on to baptism of the Holy Ghost. Then it moved on to the Holy Ghost himself standing here bringing us the word. That's where it came to. See? And the people stood by and they say, well, hey, there's, hey, nothing to it. Right back in those denominations, those that believe in justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, I believe they'll stand there as a mighty army of that unwise or foolish virgin. Locked into organizations. They'll come up in the second resurrection. But you see, there's a perversion there. Something went wrong. Yeah, but this group here that's really born of God, I do not believe are going to be guilty. Of what it says over here, I don't see how they can be guilty of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because they're told exactly what they're to do. And they do it. And they won't be guilty because they're doing the right thing. Alright. Now, we make known in 1 Corinthians 11, 20-22 what was going on. When you come together, therefore, in one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. Now, look, it sounds like he's saying when you come together, you shouldn't eat the Lord's Supper. He's not saying it. He said when you come together in the way you're coming together, that is not eating the Lord's Supper. So forget it. Start over again. Now, let's get your minds disabused because you read it and you say, well, what does it mean here? When you come together, therefore, in one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. What does it mean? I'm just telling you what it means. You are to come together in one place. But you're doing it a certain way. And he says, what you're doing is not the Lord's Supper. You understand what I said? That's exactly what he said here. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper. And one is hungry and another is drunken. What? Have ye not houses of drinking? Despise you the church of God and shame them that have not. What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. Why? Because they're wrong. They bossed it up. Now, you can't say they weren't taking it. But that was not the table of God because it's perverted. Now, that's simple as ABC. Anybody can understand it. Even I can understand that. Man, I sure ain't smart. See? All right. They were having a regular church social evening and making it with the bread and wine to be the true table of the Lord's remembrance. Now, that's what they were doing. They were coming together in a social evening. They laid out the chicken and the lamb and the dove and everything they had there, the carrots and the rhubarb and all the pies and things that spread out there. And they had the flagons of wine, and then some of them had maybe some good old scotch of some description, you know, really brewed stuff that was really high potent. And they were guzzling away. And people sitting at one of the table had an old dry piece of crust of bread or something. Oh, they didn't mix it up and have pot luck. They brought their luck with them, and some were out of luck. Yeah, that's the kind of goings on they had in that church. It was their own little going on. They called it the agape feast, the love feast. So there's a lot of love there. They're like the old fellow I knew back there, old Bishop Pillai. He was in a colored church in New York one time, and he said they took up six offerings ahead of his. And he said by the time they took up his love offering, there wasn't much love. That's the way this supper was. There wasn't any love supper there. It was a social to-do that was condemned by Paul. And then they went ahead and they took the bread and the wine and they said, well, now this is the way to do it. This is the way we got it figured out. Now, before you get carried away to condemn them, let's find out why they went wrong. Now, I believe you might have caught it when I read to you from the Gospels. So let's go back to Matthew 26 if you didn't catch it. I'll read it so you will catch it. All right. As they were eating. Now, as they were eating, already in progress of eating a supper of some sort, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it. Gave it his disciples and said, take ye, this is my body. Took the cup, gave them, said, drink ye all of it. This is the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for remission of sins and so on. Okay, let's go to Mark 14 and 22. Now we'll put it together. And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and broke it, and gave to them and said, take, eat, this is my body. All right. Now, they were eating the Passover, because that's what they were doing. That is when Jesus took bread and wine and used them. The question now arises, if Jesus and his disciples did it, why not everyone do likewise? Now that's the question. You see? Because when Jesus did it, they were eating the Passover. Now, the Passover lamb with bitter herbs and unleavened bread and what was laid up by the Old Testament doctrine under Moses was what they were doing. Then he added extra the bread and the wine. Now, notice 1 Corinthians 11, 20 to 21. See, when you come together, therefore, in one place, what you are doing is not taking the Lord's Supper. For every one of you is already eating your own supper. You've come to the place where one doesn't have anything to eat, but he's there to take the bread and wine. Another has got too much and he's a glutton. Another is drinking too much and he's a drunkard. See, don't you know this is what you do at home and you don't do concerning the Lord's table? But they were doing it. Now, I have a feeling here, and it could be erroneous, but these people are listening to a lot of people. And when Paul brought the revelation, which was strictly by revelation, because it was something God gave him, others rose up and they said, hey, have you asked Peter about this? Well, they said, no, I haven't asked Peter. Oh, what should I ask Peter about? Well, if Peter was there when the Lord and he were eating the Passover, and you see, they just didn't have bread and wine. They had meat and other things. Now, you see, brother, sister, what I'm looking at here is Paul is denying the use of anything other than the bread and the wine. Nothing else is included. And this is based on the 23rd verse 11th chapter. For I have received the Lord that which I delivered unto you. And again, we're reminded of Cain and Abel. That if you don't have a revelation, see, you don't understand the simplicity which God has laid in His Word, it opens the door to every type of interference with the things of God in your life that could possibly come. For old Eve, all the serpent had to do was say, he said, did God really say that you can't eat of every tree? She said, that's exactly right. Why, he said, you can't even touch. Why, he said, don't you know that's not exactly true? Why, the thing is this. God knows that the day that you do what I'm going to tell you to do, you're going to know good and evil, and you're going to be like God. Well, he lied. But you see, she was deceived from the simplicity of God's Word. You got the same with Cain and Abel. Deceived from the simplicity of God's Word. It takes a revelation of the Word even for this simple ordinance. Paul did not ever take any word without a revelation. And neither can we do so. Now that's what I want to see tonight. And understand that every single thing, every part of this message, and everything that is done in it, has to be according to the Word of God which has been revealed. Paul did not ever take any word without a revelation, and neither can we do so. Now one might ask, why did Jesus eat the Passover as he did? Well, I'm not certain. I never heard Brother Branham preach on it. But I would suppose that because Jesus himself was the true lamb at that Passover time, but not yet sacrificed, he was actually partaking of the type even as he went to water baptism, the washing of the sacrifice, and then setting the ordinance in the church with no more sacrifice because it's over, only emblems pointing to it. Because the sacrifice was consummated. So now, since Christ is our Passover, and he is our Passover, his sacrifice is once for all, what is left but to commemorate that death except by symbols giving us? Now that's the thing, you see, people always want to make something of something, which to me there is no necessity. He told you, this is my body broken, eat the bread. This is the shed blood, drink the wine. One is an emblem of the broken body, one is an emblem of the shed blood. Together they absolutely pertain to the commemoration of his death. That's it. And why should anybody go further? See, why should they go further? Pentecostal people came along, I think it was the ABC bunch. I'm not for sure, but I think it's what they call the ABC, a oneness group. And they said, listen, the word is the body. The blood is the life, which is the spirit. I'm full of the Holy Ghost. Were they? But they said, I'm full of the Holy Ghost. I've got the Word. Who needs these emblems? The Bible didn't say that. Well, did it? The Bible said, broken body, shed blood. Broken body, shed blood. Eat, drink. It's concerning my death. Then why people want to change it? Well, you say, Brother Dale, did they botch up? You bet they botched it up. Every service they left in worse shape than when they came in, or I don't read my Bible right. Get out of here and forget it. Don't bother coming back here. No, get out and never come back here and preach again. Let's get the thing right. When they did wrong, they left in worse shape than when they came. And I'm going to tell you the same thing as with prayer. You pray in unbelief, and you get off your knees in worse shape than when you got down. It's about time we begin to understand that the prophet came. Listen, the door is open. Old song my mother used to sing in Hungarian, that now the door is open. Used in English too, enter while you may. One fellow found the door locked. He thought he'd make a good joke. He said, now the door is locked and we will go away. That's exactly what the virgins found out too. We can make jokes, but God doesn't make jokes. According to the history that I read in the Arco volume, it said that Jesus Christ never smiled, but he's often known to cry. I don't believe he didn't smile. You can't see little kids and not smile. It's impossible for the Creator to stand there in a human form and not smile at little kids. That's ridiculous. I don't care if they do have some messed up flesh like you and I got. There's no way. There's no way you can. Somebody's messed up. That volume must be completely nuts. I know the fact that he would weep over he had wept already. But you know, even the bride weeps at times too. But there's a glorious morning coming. All right, so now, since Christ is our Passover, and he is, and his sacrifice is once for all, what is left but to commemorate that death except by symbols? Because what are you going to do concerning his death? Nothing. He died for you. Are you going to bring him back and say, now, Lord, I wish you hadn't died for me, and please don't die anymore? You see how ridiculous a person can get? With a simple revealed word of Almighty God. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. 1 Corinthians 5, 7 to 9. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast not with old leaven, neither the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the leaven, unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Okay, and with that, now you notice what Christ is our Passover. That's the main thing right there. Now you can't eat his flesh or drink his blood. That's symbolic. See? Going to spiritual, you got a different thing entirely. And because there is a spiritual, you can't apply it to this and say, forget this, we're going to the spiritual. That's what Pentecost did in this late hour in latter rain. The Brother Branham said latter rain was the closest to the real thing yet outside of his. His was the real thing. But he also said the most damning lie in the world is 99% true, 1% false. So we go with the prophet. I will anyway, I tell you what. I'm not prejudiced against the Pentecost, I'm just prejudiced for the prophet. Ha! You can figure that out if you can. Oh, come on, listen, light is not dark. I'm for the light, bless God. Let's get this down pat. Yes, we have. Okay, we go to Hebrews, the 10th chapter. We go verses 12 and 14, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down on the right hand of God. A man died, rose, and sat down on God's hand. Didn't say God died. Said a man died. How many gods are there? I'd like to know. Jesus only is wrong. That's the entire wrong doctrine we heard all these years. That was a scarecrow that was pulled across our path. Because anybody could read, grew positively, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. And they knew the Lord Jesus Christ is that one that died upon Calvary and rose again. And is now high priest. They said, well, just a minute. That threw him a loop. Then somebody came by and he said, well, you see, there's two of them. Somebody came by and said, there's got to be three of them. Well, if you got three, why not have four? Why not have 40? Why stop? Or 80th, put it right. Hundreds of titles and names, but one God. Amen. And you get baptized in his name, name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't blame the Catholics for this. Listen, the Protestants have added their share. The Catholics might have started the whoopee game, but they got in it. The Protestants got in it. Absolutely, they were just too happy. But this man, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down the right hand of God from thenceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. By one offering? The offering of himself as a sacrifice, paying the penalty for your sins and mine. Now, God couldn't accept you and me. No way. But he did accept him. All right, now we want to notice something here that's important. That is the time or the hour that Jesus instituted this ordinance. It is seen in 1 Corinthians 11 and 23. Now, this is important as far as I'm concerned, as well as the other things I've said or wouldn't be saying them. For I have received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. Yes, sir. Now, watch what I'm looking at. The same night that he was betrayed. Now, what does the word betray mean? It's to treacherously expose. Now, it doesn't mean that you're revealing something that is wrong that should be brought to light. That's not the word. To betray is to treacherously expose. He was pointed out to his enemies, and everything he said, though true, was used against him. That's treachery. Didn't you say, pull down this temple, I'll build them 3 days? Why? They said, you've got to be nuts. Didn't you say, God is your father? You're crazy. You got a devil, in fact. You're a Samaritan. In fact, we know your history. Didn't you say you were that prophet? Come on. No prophet comes out of Galilee. Didn't bother to look at the records. He's born in Judea. Now, who could have forgot so quickly the visit of the wise men? Who could have forgot so quickly the purging of the youngsters as Herod tried to kill them? You talk about spiritual amnesia, brother, sister. They had it then, they got it now. They had it then, they got it now. Oh, yeah. Betray is to treacherously expose. In other words, to bring to light for the reason of destroying. To twist. To pervert. To circumvent. What he said was true, but they used it against him. His revelation of God was denied. Then they kill him. That was the hour of the institution of communion. That was the Alpha. But in that hour, he set that ordinance in there and he said, keep it. Keep it and do it until I come.
Now with that, we're going to add Matthew 26 and 29. But I say unto you, I'll not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink in you in the kingdom, my Father's kingdom. So that puts it in its proper place. The table of the Lord must be constantly before the people. And Brother Branham said, Brother Branham, tabernacle, you do wrong. In the early church, they took communion every time they came together. We do it only here once a month, but he never told the church to do it more often. But he said they did wrong. There are those who for years they come together. Never once do they refrain from taking the table of the Lord. Never once. It is to be taken until the time when we will not be here to take it any longer. He said, Brother Bill, what if we were to meet here after the resurrection and we were to be transformed and we were standing here? Well, I believe this one thing. I could eat a piece of bread and drink a little bit of wine. If I was standing here, I don't think I'd break my routine at all. What I'm trying to tell you is this. This is instituted and never passes out. It never goes into disfavor. But not only does it not go into disfavor, but he said, I'll do it new in the kingdom, which is coming upon earth. Brother, sister, let's read Hebrews, the 6th chapter, verses 4 to 6. You know what I'm going after now. For it is impossible for those who are once for all enlightened, and have tasted the heavenly gift, were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, have tasted the good word of God, the power of the world to come, having fallen away, to renew them again to repent, seeing they crucified themselves, the Son of God afresh and put them home in shame. In other words, the hour of betrayal is upon us this hour because this word has gone forth. The once for all message, the once for all revelation has gone forth. It'll never come again. There won't be any believers after this hour. Now, believe me, brother, sister, I tell you the truth. After the bride is sealed off, there will be no more bride Gentile come in, and there'll be no more Jew bride come in, because the 144,000 sealed are eunuchs. And they follow the bride. They are not bride. But they will be a first fruit unto God. They will be in the first resurrection. They will be in the millennium. They will no doubt be in the holy city, but they will not be bride. I'm sorry, but that's exactly the truth. So when the last bride is in, it's all gone. This is the hour for it. What's happening now? They are crucifying to themselves the Son of God afresh. That's right. They are crucifying to themselves the Son of God afresh. He is being betrayed once more. His very presence is here, for the prophet said, the Lord himself descends from heaven with a shout. The voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God, and he said, Jesus does all three in descending. And he told us who was here in Revelation 10, and at the one and at the same time, the prophet was here in Revelation 10 and 7. He was to descend with the message. He said, and you know I've read it time after time, you know, the anointed ones of the end time, I just keep reading this. He said, I want you to hear this tape. You might have thought that I was trying to say this about myself, seeing I was packing this message. I got no more to do than nothing, no more than just a voice. That's all he was. The scripture distinctly says that voice is not the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And whose voice is it? It would have to be a prophet. You say, why? Because that's the way the Bible runs. Who would you make it? Some pope or some genius? Forget your geniuses. They can't abide me and I can't abide them, so that makes it equal. No, the genius has no place here. God doesn't choose the wise and the smart. Had the prince of this world known, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. And had they known the truth of William Branham, prophet of God, the Elijah of this hour, the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in the form of the Holy Ghost, they would not have done the same thing, but they're crucifying themselves. The Lord Jesus Christ is being betrayed. And communion is in divine order right now as never before. And they're going to take the communion. And the Catholics will say, this is the body. This is the blood. And they're going to drink it. And the Protestant, he won't be offended anymore. He'll say, well, I said, I don't quite agree with you, but you see, I'll sit and take it with you. And they condemn themselves. They condemn themselves and they die prematurely because God will wipe them out. Let me tell you something, brother. That first day died prematurely. When they turned down the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and dead desperate, Titus came in there 70 AD. And they died. The last plague in Egypt was spiritual death. And the last plague is this hour.
And they're stopping right now. And the prophet distinctly said, he said, they're haggling right now over the communion. They're haggling right now over the table of the Lord. But you know what? The Lutherans have already got together with the Catholics. And they say, it's perfectly all right. I can do it without offending my conscience. Where's the Lord's table gone? Where's the Lord's supper gone, my brother, sister? It has been degraded to the extent that it must be degraded, as everything in the Word of God must be degraded. See, everything has become perverted. But at evening time, it shall be light. See, the trouble is, they looked down the road and they saw that period where it was neither light nor dark. And God said, I wish it were dark. I wish it would be light. I wish they were hot. I wish they were cold. But I can't stand that lukewarm. I can't stand that light gray color anymore. He said, I can't take it. And God sent a light. And that's how He came amongst us. And He's crucified amongst us right now, because Brother Branham said, I indict this generation. Not that generation, this generation. Why? For crucifying themselves afresh the Lord Jesus Christ. They couldn't get in Him, brother, sister. And He's fresh because, no, that's gone. I want to ask you a question. Why did they crucify Him in the first place? I'll tell you why. Because He came with a different word, a different revelation. If He'd have come and matched their revelation, they'd have said, hallelujah, this is that one. Glory to God. If William Branham had come preaching Trinitarian doctrine and exposed himself to the churches of this world and said, hallelujah, I'm here to back you up, they'd have screamed, glory! And there wouldn't have been a pope. They'd have kicked the pope off the throne and put William Branham on it. Because he was actually Roman Catholic, Irish Catholic. But no. He wasn't. He was born in that mess, but he wasn't of it. Yeah, that's the way it is, and that's the way it's going to continue to be. He didn't stay with it. He came out through the Lord Jesus Christ. When they brought the word, they crucified the Son of God afresh. They crucified Him afresh at this end time, but betraying the very word that He brought to bring them into reality and into restoration. Thus, all the more, we commemorate His death in this manner until the bride and groom drink it again in the kingdom of our God. You know, people go around and they say, well, and they've been saying this for years. Listen, there's one fellow taught, and I guess he still teaches. Well, he said, look, Brother Branham said, the Lord is here. I think he said this 15, 16 years ago. Why, he said, then who needs to take communion? We do.
Amen.
Every person that's born again needs to. Every one of us need to take it. See? Now, this brings us to the words, until I come. It said right in here, Paul said, why, you're to do this until I come. As I said a month ago, dead men don't come. Only live men come. No. But he said, what am I trying to get you? These are emblems that commemorate a death. That bring you to the sanctity of the blood that was shed for you and me, the life that was given. The body that was almost pulled asunder. They whipped Him so tragically. There wasn't a bone broken. But neither was there one blood vessel, I understand, by doctors and scientists that didn't give forth blood. Even they pierced the heart through the side, the pericardium, which was filled with blood and water. And they say great sore and pressure can swell the pericardium until the blood and water is there. And the thorns upon the brow punctured the little vessels that caused the blood to flow out until the blood completely left His body. He didn't need to be embalmed as people try to embalm today to get the blood or whatever they do. He was gone. He shed every drop of blood for you and me. There is no place, my brother and my sister, that I know of anywhere in eternity where we ever forget the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. What a tragic thing it is for anybody to deny the simple little ordinance that God said in His church. I don't understand it. It is the living one that is coming. Let's go to Revelation, the first chapter. 1-17. One and 17, 18. And I saw him, and I fell at his feet as dead. He laid his right hand upon me, saying, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of death and hell. All right? Let's go to Revelation 1:48. John, the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace to him which is and which was and which is to come, the seven spirits which are before the throne. Now you know that's God.
and from Jesus, who is the Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten from among the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth. Now notice, it doesn't say king of kings, it says prince of kings. Prince is the son of a king. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. When's he going to be king of kings when we crown him? Because he's been incarnated, see? Okay. And hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. See, people get mixed up when they say, well, if he's not God, can I worship him? What do you think that is here? What is that here? That's worship. People get so scared. Why get scared? Listen to what the prophet said. He laid it out. He said, I'm not Jesus only. He said, they're wrong. Yeah, where'd the doctrine come from? Same place Eve got hers. He said, then you make those people devils. I never said they're devils. I said it's doctrine of devils. But he didn't say it. I'm saying it now. You see, if you've got a right to do it, sure, because Paul said it. Oh, well, what was it that brought Eve her doctrine? The devil. Where do false doctrines come from? Do you think they come from God? Ha! There's only two spirits. Spirit of beast doesn't do you any harm. No, you're not going to get any problem from a dog. Or an elephant, or a horse, or anything else. It's the devil. That's the spirit you've got to watch out for. Doctrine of devils. Doctrines of devils, sure. They transformed themselves into angels of light. Satan came in the serpent as the supreme authority. Well, he took authority over God. You know what he did? He even used the power and might that Satan was given by God himself to come against God. And you think for 1 minute a preacher who's not ordained of God will not use the very word of God to come against God? Certainly he will. Well, that's the name of the game. You know, people get so naive and they don't go back to the beginning. What happened in the beginning? It's going on now. Who was the original deceiver? Satan. Who's the deceiver now? Satan. What did he get into? He got into a serpent. What's he into now? He's into people. He's got his own church. He's got his own doctrines. What do you think of the Pope going to Poland now? He's entered into politics. Yeah. Now it says, who can make war with the beast? I told you that program I saw where that bishop sat there this morning, I was someplace in a motel. Turned the news on, and I sure glad I did to turn the news on. Although I don't even like to bother with it. Here sat that very handsome Catholic bishop, very handsome man. A lot of black hair, some gray. And he sat there and just told them flat why they said, well, is the Pope going to go to Poland now that the Russians are there and ready to move in? He said, certainly not. He said, he's not going in. Well, we heard he was. Well, he said, why should he go in? He said, well, the Russians are not going to go in. So how do you know? Well, he said, we've got contact with them. He named the very name of the legate from Rome that's in with Moscow, and the Moscow legate that's in Rome. And the bargain was this. Mr. Pope, keep your mouth shut and don't denigrate us, and we won't walk in. But if you start getting too scurrilous, we may attack. Well, he said, that's easy. I'll just keep my mouth shut to a certain degree, and he's done it. Now, is Walesa going to step down? I don't know. I'm not a prophet. I just look at the news. The odd time. Put two and two together and come up with five. So I've come up with five this time that the Pope went to Poland. And it was political, because he went to Jaruzelski, didn't he? What do you pronounce it in Jaruzelski, anyway? What if he's not a very loosey guy to me, very loosey. But anyway, he's there. He's a very clever, wonderful person in his own way. But he sat with the Pope. There's no war. Now we're pretty soon going to come. Who can make war with the beast? Things are moving in, brother, sister. I'm glad they are. Now listen. He is here in Revelation 1:4-8. And made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory to me forever. Behold, he comes with clouds. Every eye is going to see him. They that pierced him. See, the Jews are going to see him. Every king of the earth. And listen, let's say Rome pierced him too. Let's not forget that. The kings of the earth shall wail because of him. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, he saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Now, the dear dying Lamb, reincarnated by God, is coming back to earth, and we with him, and we will drink it new in the kingdom of God. Okay. Brother Branham said, when that spirit that's in the midst of us now is incarnated unto us, we will crown him King and Lord of Lords.
That means that this time when the Holy Spirit's work is bringing the message is over. The last one is in child train. The last one fully restored by the restored word of Almighty God. The last one purely a virgin bride. No more coming in. The dead will come out of the ground. That Spirit will take us up and He'll go ahead of us. And as Jesus, that great man, descends, that Spirit will incarnate Himself in Him. Yes, sir. It's exactly what is taught in the Word of God. The prophet taught it. And at that time, we'll crown a King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We're going to come back here and we'll drink anew in the Kingdom of God. It's exactly right. It'll be greater than ever, brother, sister. In no way can you ever diminish what God left us in ordinances. In no way. Now listen. I want to go to Matthew 5, 33 to 37. We're still on the Lord's Supper. The table of God. 5:33 to 37. And it says, again ye have heard that it had been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oath. But I say, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it's God's throne, nor by earth, for it is His footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, and nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. Now that's the verse I want to look at. When anyone begins fooling with the Scripture and goes beyond the simplicity of what God has said and demanded, that person has fallen into evil. Absolutely. He's left the faith. He's denied the revelation of the hour. Now, let's go to Revelation chapter 22 and verses 18 to 19 and see the very same thing there. Because it's right manifested under our very eyes. The prophet used this time after time after time. For I testify to every man that heareth the words of the prophet's book. If any man shall add to these things, the Lord will add unto him the plagues that are written in his book. If any man shall take away the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, out of the holy city, and from the things that are written in this book. All right. Make an application of this to the message of what I'm talking tonight. Jesus said, eat and drink. He didn't say, get your own revelation, get your own ideas. Now you notice, man always wants to spiritualize. That's the danger, most dangerous thing in the world is to spiritualize. Because when you do that, you're going into allegory, extended parables. You can't do it. That's why Brother Branham said, nobody can interpret a dream but a prophet. Unless it is so outspoken that you just, you know, there's no interpretation needed because there it is. You could dream and see someone being carried away in a hearse to say that person's going to die, and the person carried away in a hearse, well, so that's exactly. That needs no interpretation. There's certain things that come to you in a vision. I never did know what one vision meant until I met Brother Branham. I had a vision and didn't know what it was. 20 years of age about it. Maybe 21. I don't think I was beyond that. 20 years of age. And I saw that mighty one that came down from heaven. Just in a vague way, like a man. But you couldn't tell that it was a man, yet it was a man. You knew it was. And I'm going to tell you something. The earth was like the size of my fist, like a man standing on it. That's how big this earth is in the sight of God. Footstool is right, brother, sister. Footstool. Barely a footstool. The barest of footstools. Here in a spirit form. Never knew. I just knew one thing, that stay away from prophecy because it would take a prophet. It's paid off. Now God said here, don't get your own ideas. Don't get your own revelation. Paul came on the scene and he said, I was like one born out of due season. He said, I wasn't with them. They ate with him. They slept with him. They fished with him. They did everything else. But he said, I didn't need that and I didn't get that. I got a revelation. Then he said, when I went up 14 years later to check it out, I was 100% right on. In fact, he said, I was so right on that when I saw Peter, who should have known better, listening to a Judaizer and demanding circumcision of Barnabas, who fell for it, he said, I created smoke, he said, and ate him up. Amen. Now, you wonder why Paul and Barnabas had a fallout. I know if you say, well, I don't think preachers should fight. I do. Because this ain't worth fighting for. You better go home and shut up. I don't mean to get a sword and clop each other's ears off. That's what Peter did in a flurry, and God had to put the ear back on. I don't believe in that. But I want to tell you, Paul stood up for the gospel. And when he left the scene, was ready to go on his road of eternal life out of this body and go to that body prepared. He didn't only say, I've fought a good fight. He said, I have got myself clear from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you the full counsel of God. He didn't say, I went out and healed all the sick. He didn't go out there and say, I performed miracles. He said one thing. He said, I declared the counsel of God. And when Peter was fooling around after Pentecost even, Paul stood up there and he said, listen, Peter, it's time to get up and be counted. That's why he came to this Corinthian church. And he said, I don't praise you for what you're doing. He said, I'm going to tell you something. Every time you come in here and do what you're doing, you're leaving in worse shape than you come in. Why? Because they were confirming themselves in an error. That's why you let your own thinking go. I was going to tell you about that after three quarter. I'm going to bring you back to it. I lost my thought way back there. I was going to tell you how it was I told you before. I would be scared stiff of some of the things Brother Branham said. Because, you know, I felt, what's going to say? Where does it lead me? I don't know of it. What have I got? So one day, I said to myself, well, you got to face it. Sometime might as well be now. Tell you one thing. If he's wrong, you're a whole lot worse off than he is because he's a whole lot more right than you are. Already God has spoke to me and I knew that he was right. He never was wrong. Because the word of God, the word of the prophets, one. So I began looking. I brought myself to the word that the prophet preached. And you know what I found out? I found out that I was not hearing what the prophet had said until the hour I came to the lake. Now some of you folk may be sitting right here tonight. You heard this message and you've been sitting here scared because you think I'm going to talk about condemnation. And all I told you to this point, and that's all I'm going to tell you, is this. He said to those that were his own disciples, and if we're born again, we are his children. And he said, look, this represents my body, eat it. This represents my blood, eat it. And don't add to it and don't take from it. When you come together, that's all you do. You take a piece of bread, you eat it. You take a drop of wine and you drink it. And you don't do anything else. You don't eat. You don't drink anything else. That's it. He said, well, I just don't know. I think I should read something very, very elevating because that is not so elevating. See, you just blew it. You're too spiritual for God. Listen, brother, sister, you realize I'm trying to get across to you tonight? I've been telling you all along, the folk that come here, that there is nothing in this message, that the Word of God, that doesn't come to life in this hour. Everything is coming to life. Water baptism, communion, everything, call it what you, is coming to life. There's a reality. See? I preach for some time now, and I lay it on the line, that when you do what God says tonight, something is happening to you. You say, Brother Vail, how can it be? Why, Brother Vail, and ask me how it can be? You don't believe the Word of God is never going to be to you. Now you say, Brother Vail, you're mean. I am not mean. I'm telling you, it's time to wake up. Is this some meaningless thing? When Paul said, if you do it wrong, something you're getting worse, then if you do it right, you're getting better. Amen. Right? Right. And we're not in a death trap anymore. We don't have to wonder anymore. That's why, now people tell me the prophet said, I don't know who he said it to, so therefore I don't know that I believe it. But then again, I don't necessarily do not believe it. But it's supposed to be, he said that when he took communion at night, he went home and never ate another thing. And I can understand why he would say that if he did say it. Because he didn't mix anything with it when he took it, and he wouldn't mix anything afterward. Although I don't say that that's the way it should be. But I'm telling you, in church, if you do what we're talking about, if you're born again, as far as you know that you are a born again Christian, baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're not here full of hate and malice, I can tell you one thing. This little ordinance makes you a better person simply because you used your faith in obeying Almighty God. because faith is obedience to the Word. I don't have to explain things because I can't explain them. All I know is I've taken this stand for years, that this Word I preach has got to come back on me, and it's doing it for the glory of God, not for Lee Vale. And what I say here tonight, I know has got to come back on me, because there's nothing in the economy of God, not one word that is void of power.
Amen.
There is not one step of faith that is void of power. There is nothing in God that is void. In Him is light, and there is no darkness at all. By faith, brother, sister, we believe this. Just eat, just drink. We don't need revelations or ideas of our own. It's just what Paul laid out here. Do it for what it is, because of what it is, and for nothing else. Anything else leads to condemnation. You remember years ago we had a very dear friend. she got in with some Lateran people. And I'm not against them because I don't even care for them, care one way or the other what they do. They mind their business, I mind mine. At least hopefully that's the way it goes. Anyway, she was told that you should get, like they told me, if you get baptized in a certain way for a certain thing, then you watch how real it becomes. Sure it can, but it's phony. It's a $3 bill. You mean to tell me it wasn't real when Satan got Eve messed up? You think it's not real when a guy goes out there and gets drunk and kills somebody? Sure it's real, but so is this real. This is the real real. The other's destructive. You see, when they added to it, like, I remember there was a fellow off the coast, his name was Bush, I think it was. I'm pretty sure that's his name. He went down to Parker Thomas's. And he told everybody down there in Lateran why, he said, when our people got baptized unto gifts, he said, you should have seen the gifts first. Everybody ran to get baptized unto gifts. That's what you can do in Lateran. It's doctrines of devils. I didn't say they were devils. I said that's the doctrines of devils. Now, come on, let's be honest. You see, you're not going to make yourself a fine Christian by denying it's a doctrine of devils. You're not going to make yourself a wonderful Christian by saying it. But I'll tell you one thing. You're going to start getting grounded when you look the thing in the eye. Now, what is it? What is this Lord's table about? He said, look, take this and this because, you see, I am the last sacrifice. And from now on, there isn't anything else you can do.
Amen.
Except this. It points back that I died for you.
Amen.
Now, he said, don't add to it and don't take from it. Just do it. In memory of me. That I died, my body broken, my blood shed. You say, is that what it is? That's what it is! I'm not going to add or take from it. How should I? Why should I destroy myself and destroy others? No way. By faith and love, it will bring us to and keep us in health and strength and life. The Bible says so. I didn't say it, the Bible said so. You say, well, just a minute, this says something about judging here and this and that and the other thing. Go back to what did it. Go back to what did it. They're eating and drinking and guzzling. They weren't sharing. They were setting themselves apart. Now, when you come with a true heart toward Almighty God, and how true that heart is only as the Holy Ghost makes you true. What you think is true is not true. It's what you think is true. It's what God says is true. You full of the Holy Ghost and faith, come and partake. What more can you do? It says here it keeps us in health and strength and life. And soon we're going to see Him physically. And the whole bride and groom will come together for the millennium. See, that's what it's all about. Let's go back and read it again. 1 Corinthians 11 chapter. Sun's about gone down. Now remember over here, watch in verse 2 of chapter 11. Now watch. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. Now he praised them because they did what he told them to do. Now watch over here. I don't praise you. And he said, I'll tell you why I don't praise you. He said, because every time you come together to do what you're doing, you go away worse than what you were when you came in. Now, Brother Brand said, we go to church to become better, right? And how's the Lord's Supper going to make us better Christians? Better people? By coming with a true heart. Put aside your creeds and your dogmas. Put aside everything. Put aside any animosity. Just come as one for whom Christ died
and let the person next to you come as for one for whom Christ died. Say, this I take in honor of the one whose body was broken. This is the emblem of his shed blood. Lord, I believe your word. I believe I'm going to leave here a better person. I believe I'll have better health for doing it. My life will be more satisfied, more consecrated. You say, can I do it? What does the scripture say? You haven't done one thing, not one thing really. You just took a little wine, a little bread in a memory. But the memory of what he did, brother, sister, is eternal. Because it's real by one sacrifice forever. And there isn't any more. Now he said, look, I'm going to tell you something. You shouldn't be that way. You don't need to be that way. Let me tell you the revelation, verse 23. I received of God what I delivered to you. He said, I didn't see him do it. I wasn't there when he did it. But he came and he told me what he did. And he told me it was the night that he was betrayed. The squeeze is coming down, brother, sister. And it's not going to be on Jesus. It's going to be on a bride. During the time of the Covenanters, when the Roman Catholics wrote to kill every Protestant, and they were doing it quite successfully, and anybody caught outside at night was questioned and tortured. And one little girl went to meet with the Covenanter friend. She wanted to take communion. She wanted to take the Lord's Supper. And the soldiers caught her. And they said, where are you going, wench? Oh, she said, leave me be. I go to celebrate the death of a friend. Oh, they said, pass on, poor girl. So she went to the church and took the wine and the bread and went home. Saved your life. Yeah, what if the pressure comes down on you and me? Brother Brand said they closed these doors as far as they knew. See? What'll it be? To sneak in just to hear the word? No, to take communion too. Maybe more often. No, brother, sister, I mean it. To me, I want to keep repeating to you. To me, there isn't anything that doesn't have a meaning anymore. And I'm not going crazy. Believe me, I'm in a far better sense than I ever had in my life. I don't have a memory at all, and yet sometimes God knows me. I just flip the pages back and forth, and they're just where the scriptures ask me the next 5 minutes. Forget it. And I preach as much an hour and a half. You know where they are, but next day I won't know. Hopefully I know a little better than I did before. But I don't bank on it. Listen. No, my mind hasn't gone. No way, shape, or form. When he given, he said, he the same night he's betrayed, he took that bread. He gave thanks. He broke it. This is my body. Take it in remembrance. He took the cup. He said, this is a testament of my blood. As often as you drink it. How often? As often. No matter how many times. You do it to remember me. For as often as you eat this bread, drink this cup, you proclaim, you preach a sermon about the Lord's death until he come. And you do it until he comes. And he hasn't come the way he's got to come before you quit. Now let's get that flat. The way he's come now is not the way you quit. It's the way you'd better do it. As never before. Wherefore, whosoever eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthy shall be guilty of the body and blood of Jesus. What were they doing? They were adding and making a mockery. If you're sincere, and no doubt you are sincere, a born-again child of God baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have every right to the full access. Not just a symbolic meaning, but the full meaning of the full power of God that lies in it. What Jesus Christ accomplished is yours and mine tonight. Brother, sister, it isn't by hearsay. Let's face it, it is not by hearsay only that many a person has been absolutely healed of incurable diseases at the table of the Lord. True. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, God of all grace and mercy, we know that we're just like so many, many people. As Brother Branham said, the things of God become too common. The discernment that he had, which was true discernment, became so common that men sat there as though they were in a sideshow. And he was there as though he were a man in a sideshow. And we know that so much was lost because people didn't sit down and think. They didn't stand still in the waters of separation. They didn't stand still for this hour. When they should have stood still, They wandered off. Now, Lord, we've been standing for quite some time in the waters of separation, and we know that we're not nearly as separate as we want to be. We realize potentially that we certainly are, because we've been separated from sin by the wonderful blood that scatters sin till there be no evidence. We've been baptized into the body, the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. You do not denigrate that nor take from it for one minute, Lord. We only know that as long as we are here, we lack a depth that we cherish and would love to launch into as the prophet designated we ought to launch into. And Father, tonight, I hope before you, before the holy angels, Lord, that would bear witness, that what I have said has not been without impact upon myself and every single one here, that there is nothing here that doesn't have life within it. And when it is truly revealed, which it is, because the revelation is so utterly simple that a wayfaring man, though fool, could not err therein. There would be no way whatsoever. We see it clear that we do this. The availability of what lies there to us as Christians, such as healing virtue and a good life, a long life, not being cut off, but given strength for every hour. We go on as those who are faithful servants and soldiers in the army of our God. And Lord, I love that tonight. I love to know that it's reduced itself to such simplicity that if we would just give way to it, that the message itself is as simple as the performance of taking the emblems, the elements that designate such truth. This very word, just to believe that was, and it was God speaking in a man. It was truly the word of God. Though he used another one's voice, it was his voice, your voice, Lord. Just as you borrowed a manger, you borrowed vocal cords, as it were. And you used this man, and now we heard, and we know that in the shout, it was the gathering together to Christ. And we're just waiting now for the voice to raise the dead and then the trumpet to take us home. Lord, may the simplicity, and thank you, Lord, that it is reaching us. It is coming down to the within the context of the soul that's illuminated. And Lord, I believe tonight, as I've never believed before, for which I certainly thank you, as there is a simplicity that is coming to bear as never before. And I praise you for it, Lord, because you know that my own thinking has always been in the complex. I've never thought too much of simple things. I like the complicated questions in arithmetic and geometry and algebra and all those things. Looking to see where entanglements come and go, but Lord, finally getting to the place, hopefully a long way into it, where the simplicity has overridden everything else so that nothing intrigues anymore, knowing that wisdom of simplicity makes us wise under the things of God. Not enticing speech, not man's wisdom, but knowing the word that was demonstrated. And it has been, it is, and it's ours. Bless each one tonight, Lord, as we partake, which we will eventually, Lord, shortly and soon. May the grace of Almighty God be resting and abiding upon each one, healing and helping, Lord, healing and helping. And may our desires now, Lord, be such so that the virtue that lies in your life that is available because of what you have done and we commemorate begin to be taken seriously by us and not looked upon, which we so often look upon and think within ourselves, well, even if we don't get help, we're not too bad off. Lord, let us lay that all down tonight. Because I don't believe that's the way to take the table of the Lord. To lay it all down tonight in sincerity, absolute sincerity, partake that we might have what you said was ours. We pray it in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The Lord bless you. Sun's going down now very nicely, Brother Unwin. You're going to sing for us, are you? And then we'll have communion foot washing. Yes, sir.
Appreciate having you, brother.
I was just thinking as I was listening to the message tonight, I hope we all realize that we're hearing the greatest ministry there's been on earth since the first century. It is the full word ministry. And the full word ministry hasn't been here since the Apostle John left. And that was around 96 A.D. Now remember that. We're having the greatest ministry that this world has seen in 2,000 years in our generation. That ought to make us rejoice.
Amen.
I've heard the greatest preachers that there's been in Protestantism. I've heard Dr. Lee, worked with Dr. Lee of the famous Bellevue Baptist Church in Memphis, Donald Gray Barnhouse, the 10th Presbyterian Church, Dr. Harry Ironside, who is pastor of the Moody Memorial Church. But they only ministered in part. Partiality. They did not have a full revelation. The greatest ministry we have today is what we're all hearing. We're a privileged group of people.
Amen.
If we but only knew it. And how simple it is. It's come in such simplicity. Who would ever thought we'd hear the greatest ministry that there is, full word ministry, in a house out in the country?
Right.
You would have thought it would have been in a cathedral. Wouldn't you? But it isn't. See, God just makes us all, He just lays us low, humbles us, you know, but how sweet and how good it is. I have a song here I want to sing that I think fits in here. It's a little different, different tempo. He is Jehovah.
That's a real Jericho march. I could just hear those ram's horn blowing and seeing the walls of Jericho fall down. You know, that's a good tempo, the music. It's, I don't believe we have any discords in our life and any miserable or unjoyful notes since the prophet came. And remember, it's the trumpet the prophet sounded. It's true, it is. It's the last trump, last gospel trump. And then the Brother Branham said the trumpet declares war. And he emphasized that he presents the person. He said, what do you mean? I got to get this mic on. He said, what do you mean? He presents the person? He said, yeah, presents the person. Who do you think that Brother Brand was talking about? Same one that Brother Ungren's talking about tonight. When the walls of Jericho are coming down, praise the Lord. Well, the brethren come forward now. We're going to serve those emblems tonight in simplicity. We'll just come by as usual, start at this side, and then you go back and take your seats and then fall around the best you can. We don't have any too great law and order here on the grounds that the way the seats are made, but you're all welcome and you're all part of us. We're not close communicants, except we're close in this respect that we're all part of the Lord. You're all welcome, and just trust that you have got some good out of the meeting and that you're going to go here. From here, and you'll be in better shape than when you came. That's right. That's the word of God.
Amen.
That is the word of God. I believe that, brother, sister. I got there. People right here can testify that's happened in their lives.
Amen.
Come to meeting, go away, change, absolutely change.
Amen.
And I sure not leave ill. Ha! Oh, brother, sister. If I changed you, you'd look something like, if I was trying to carve a chicken. You'd look up like mincemeat. I can't help anybody. But I got a God who does, because I know because He helped me. All right, let's rise at this time, shall we? Let's just bow our heads then. Heavenly Father, here we are to do what Paul said to do by revelation. And Lord, we just are not going to eat or drink anything now besides this, nor will we do anything beside this, except come in remembrance of You that this is the body broken and this is the bloodshed. And we do it, Lord, until we come back with You upon earth and do it anew. And that's wonderful. We just marvel at Your grace, and it's just like we cannot contain ourselves for Your goodness and mercy, and this simplicity overwhelms us. So, Father, here we are. We present ourselves in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord bless you. Just go on forward and...